Welcome back, everybody, to an all-new episode of All Gas, No Trash. My name's Josh. I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, welcome back to a new episode.
And as per usual, well, we have an album review for you today, but as per usual, this is the No Curse Minute, sponsored by our good friends and business associates over at Game Rage Magazine, who... since we're not sponsored by anybody actually, like, good, they sent us over a $7 hot and ready pizza, and I guess that's, like, our payment for doing this. So
it is quite spectacular.
I will say, it is delicious. I wish we were sponsored by the pizza provider as opposed to Game Rage Magazine, but beggars can't be choosers at this point, so... I guess we'll just take what we can get.
I will say, this company is of the Roman or Greek variety.
Yeah, I think that's Roman.
Yeah, Roman. Yeah. And the pizza of sorts is a pretzel pizza, and it's quite fucking delicious.
It is good. It's the first time I've had it. It's delicious as hell.
Yeah, so that'll keep us fueled for the rest of the review, and then well into the night.
Well into the night. All right, the minute is now over.
Yeah.
So we can move on to the topic of the day, which we are going to listen to and review Mei Semonet's new album, Animaru. And I will just preface, as I usually do, that I've never heard of Mei Semonet, nor do I know what an Animaru is. However, Adam, you've been listening to this for quite some time, haven't you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I didn't actually know that this was her debut album, because I think she's been active for 5 years at this point.
Man.
And I just have to quickly mention, and just as proof, this is not bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm a day one, Oos.
Day one shit. It's just me, Oos.
Since 2020, according to this Instagram, I messaged her back on July 1st when her first single came out. It was called Foas or something like that.
Damn, July 1st, 2020. You said, just wanted to say I came across some song recently, and it's such a lovely song. It's the greatest song. It's a lovely song. It's the best songs. Looking forward to more music. And she replied. Yeah. Thanks so much.
So we're 5 years in, and she hasn't released a debut album.
Until now.
And I just happened to find out that she released. So it's actually been quite a bit of time that's passed by since I've listened to her music. I've listened to singles here and there, mm-hmm. but like as far as EPs and stuff, like I've kind of, I've been somewhat forgetful about them. So this will be like mostly fresh to me as well. So, I don't know if I have anything else to add. It's very hard to describe her music.
This just came out 2 days ago.
Yeah. So it's like jazzy, I guess, experimental indie rock, indie pop stuff. It's kind of out there. I don't know how Josh is going to feel about it, but it doesn't really matter, because we're just here to talk about the music and enjoy it or hate it for what it is. And it should be a relatively good time.
Yeah, I will say it's pretty cool that she's with Bayonet Records. I think that's a sweet ass fucking name, man. Bayonet Records, already getting points in the positive direction.
Yeah.
So
we got to get to the first track.
Yeah, well, as we do, as you always do, if this is your first time, if you're a first time, long time, or a long time first time, this is what we do. We pull up our Apple Musics, our Spotify's, our 1800s phonographs, our ancient music boxes from the Mesopotamian era, and we fire up the album, and we listen to each song, and we pause the recording and listen to it so that you can also pause the recording and listen to the song if you want to, you know, listen along with us, because that's fun, so why wouldn't you? But anyways, go ahead and fire your stuff up, and let's get into it. The first track, Dumb Feeling, off of Mei Semonet's latest, well, I guess debut album, Animaru. Here we go. All right, that was Dumb Feeling, Mei Semonet, off of the debut album, Animaru. Well, what do you think about that first go around?
That was like some Studio Ghibli shit.
Yep.
It makes you... It's like, what's that one with the witch and...
delivery. Oh, Howl's Moving Castle or Kiki's Delivery Service?
Yeah, Kiki's Delivery Service. Like, you're kind of like, you're riding your bike around town, then you hop
it's
on the
montage.
Fucking, yeah, it's like a montage scene.
Yeah,
it's very, I think it's bossa nova music, like Brazilian bossa nova music, bossa, no, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, man, at the beginning I thought, I was like, oh, is this going to be some, like, that Antonio Banderas movie where he's the guitar player. What the fuck's name? Desperado or El Desto, whatever. I feel like that was like, oh man, this is like some Southern, you know, kind of twang or some shit to it, which wasn't bad. I mean, I enjoyed the track, and you're right. This is anime, Studio Ghibli. This is all that. This is like a feel good anime, like montage song.
Yeah. And where there's no antagonist to say, this is like a lighthearted, I don't know. It, the perspective from the song was rather interesting, that it was like a stream of consciousness. They're like, oh, I like riding the bus and or I like riding the train. And
now, if you want me to take a turn.
Yeah, go ahead.
My interpretation. Okay, so I think that May Simone is into Warhammer 40K. All right, and let me explain.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Elaborate, brother.
This song is like, so there's this chaos god called Nurgle, and like, he just wants everybody to just have all their pain taken away. Like, he's an innocent, like, chaos god. And so, like, he possesses them to, like, take all their pain away and shit, right? Like, that's what he does. Okay. He's like, he wants them to just, like, be like an NPC or whatever. Is kind of like how it is, but they, like, will just do what he says. And so this song, I feel like, is like that. It's talking about, like, oh, you don't have to talk. You don't have to talk because you just listen to somebody else talk. Or, you know, this is, you're sitting there going like, oh man, this is like a dumb feeling, but I kind of like this because I don't really feel anything. Like, it's just kind of, oh, hey, I'm good. Like, I'm straight. Like, I don't got to worry about shit. And there's something to like about that. And I don't know. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Curious to see where this goes.
Yeah, this is, I think there's something to be said about people that are more reserved, that enjoy moments for what they are. Be it in a conversation, if you're sitting aside somebody and you feel like the urge to speak, sometimes you can just sit aside from somebody and not have to say anything. Like, you know, people that fucking do that, they kind of suck ass.
They do, yeah.
It's like, why can't you just sit in silence, motherfucker? Like, there's no problems. You just have to break the silence and be weird. Anyways.
Well, I mean, like, I do that. Like, I usually just can't sit there. I have to say shit. Like, I can't just sit there and be like,
yeah,
silent. That's weird. I don't know about that.
All right. So what I will say about this track additionally is that the instrumentals are pretty fucking glorious. The strings, and I think there's even like horns or something in the background. I couldn't, you know, it's already been like 2 minutes since we listened to it. I already forgot. But yeah, I like the harmonies with I think it was like the guitar, her voice and her guitar, like harmonizing. That was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
The bossa nova style music. Everything sounds crystal clear. Like, there's nothing combating with one another to that. It's not, nothing's being more intrusive than the other instruments or even May Simone's voice. Like, the mixing's pretty fucking good. So
I enjoyed
this track quite a bit.
Indeed, I did too. So far so good. So let's see what's next. Let's go to the next track, which is called Dengomushi, off of May Simone's debut album Animaru. Here we go. All right, that was Dengomushi, track number 2. All right, this is fucking good. God damn it again. I really was hoping I would hate this, but so far this is very excellent. I don't even know how to fucking describe this. Like, it's sure. There doesn't seem to be that much lyrical depth to the stuff, but I don't think it needs that.
Yeah.
This just is whimsical and it feels good.
Yeah.
It tickles this part of my brain that just kind of like, I'm not going to lie, it makes my dick hard a little bit. I can't explain why that is, but that's what it does to me. It's like making me feel filled with joy and happiness.
Yeah. It's, we have that continued narrative of like being, I don't know if it's detached or something, but it's like this observer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like, you can almost insert yourself into the story. There's not really like an overarching story. It's like, oh, it's like a slice of life album.
Yeah, in music. Like, God damn it.
But, dude, there's one way to describe this album in its current form of the two songs that we've listened to. It's very lush.
Yeah.
It's quite fucking lush. Like, the guitar, the fucking string arrangement.
Dude, those so, violins, man.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
That is just fucking excellent, man.
I mean, Confused Boner, like, add that into the mix of, like, boners.
It's it's literally a cacophony.
Yeah.
There is multiple, it's like a harmonious multitude of sounds.
Yeah.
And it just flows so well together. And what's great is this second song, yeah, lyrically it was kind of on the same kind of track of a little bit, but musically it was very different from that first song.
Oh yeah, it had more of like that, I don't know if it's like, it's not soft rock, but it's like, there was more of a rock element to it.
Yeah.
And then when there was parts where there was like little gaps, and then the fucking strings kind of came into, oh, and they were like, bin, 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 bin. I'm like, oh shit, oh shit. Man, yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude. It's fucking rad. And then I will say there was this one cool part, because it's on November Rain from Guns N' Roses. Like, it's a pizzicato playing style, like playing the picked, playing a string instrument in a picked form. So it, yeah, I don't know. I fucking love that part. This is fucking rad.
Yeah, man, this is fucking rad.
So I don't know what to expect for the next 8 tracks that we're going to listen to, but I do like the dynamic of the two, the Japanese and English being mixed in. It's kind of a cool touch. I mean, not to say it's new or anything, but no, like it's novelness.
All right, this is going to sound fucked up, but I don't mean it that way. Because I was saying about it seems to, there's not a lot of depth to the lyrical content, but I think that's why part of this is in Japanese, because it kind of covers that up and you don't even really notice it. It's, you know, again, we're Googling and like translating the words, so we know what it says. But if you're just listening to this for the first time, you're probably not going to do that. And so if you're just hearing it, it just sounds good.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, too.
Perfect,
you,
man.
You can enjoy it that way.
Yeah.
And I will say that I do like this song for the whimsical lyrics, as you said, because it kind of talks about being in harmony with like nature and just enjoying things as they are, and not, it's very lighthearted and enjoyable. Yeah. I'm just waiting for like the other shoe to drop it. Like, yeah, some bad shit to happen.
And I'm going to be sad when that happens. Like, yeah. I might actually cry this episode.
And,
I don't know.
And I just want to quickly note, I forgot to mention that the, I don't know what's up with the cover, but it's like a fucking rat with wings. And it's got colorful bokeh like circles. Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. I don't know. Anyways.
All right. So let's do the next track. Track number 3, Toramoyo. Here we go. All right, that was track number 3, Toramoyo. Yeah, Toramoyo. Man, another fucking banger.
Yeah.
That God damn it, dude. This is expertly and masterfully crafted.
Yeah. What is that called? Is that like, it's not improvisation, but it's like you're harmonizing with your instrument?
Yeah.
Dude, the fact that she could harmonize with her instrument, like, and not be flat or too high pitched, it's right in the pocket of the fucking tone.
That skill level is off the fucking charts. And then whoever's playing that guitar, dude, that guitar solo.
I think that's her.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I was literally, that's what you would probably consider like a soft rock-ish kind of guitar. Dude, I was fucking headbanging and throwing up the devil horns and shit. That was straight fire, man.
I hope my fart didn't come through on the mic.
I hope it did. Because it's just the excitement is just expelling all the air from your body with how good this is. She has sonically expelled all oxygen from your blood. Yeah,
that was just me expunging all demons from my insides. Yeah. Now I'm filled with love.
Love and joy. And fuck, man. Like, I didn't know this feeling could exist.
Yeah. This is a far cry from Ichiko Aoba's Luminescent Creatures, where it felt like the world was ending.
Yeah, this is the exact opposite.
It does feel... it's not exactly the same, but it does have like a feel of Ichiko Aoba's music. But this is so like lighthearted and fun. And yeah, again, it continues with like the slice of life stuff. And what were the context of the lyrics again, just so I could see it again? It's just like traveling and taking your guitar, like, because she's obviously touring with her music. So it's like a talking about being on tour and also having somebody at their side, and that their hands are not just for the music, but also for, well, as she says, it's her hands are belong to her significant other, and for nothing else, and if nothing else but for love, I guess. And very, very cool, like bossa nova sound, and again, like the harmonies with the instruments and all the instruments in general, dude, so fucking cool. Like,
yeah,
I really didn't know what to expect from this album, and I've been rather surprised. In fact, I've been blown away with these three tracks that we've heard. So we can get to the next one.
Yeah, so let's check out the next one. Track number four, I Can Do What I Want. Oh man, I hope this song is what I think it's about. All right, here we go. All right, that was track number four, I Can Do What I Want. And goddamn right, whatever, I do what I want. I'll digitally reinsert Jabba the Hutt in the original Star Wars. Whatever, I do what I want. That was the best song we've heard so far. That song was a fucking certified hood classic banger.
I feel like that kid in that meme video where he's like, I got Fortnite, I got a girlfriend, I got pizza, except minus the girlfriend, and I just have like a
Roman pizza.
yeah, and I have a topo. No, wait, I can't say that.
a carbonated beverage,
a refreshing sparkling beverage. Oh man, I have made someone in. You can't. I can't be beat right now.
No,
I'm in ecstasy.
We are on top of the fucking world right now. You know, if India nukes Pakistan right now and we all die, wow, what a way to die.
Yeah,
we're on top of the world. We're definitely ascending into the next realm because we're listening to this.
Yeah, or we've peeked our head into the next realm through the music of Mae Sembene. I gotta say, man, it's crazy how she has these like these hard beats that really kick the song into like the next fucking gear. So it's like when there's a hard like, beat, it's
and
like
then it's a tempo change. Just it's like, bop, bop, bop. Yeah. It starts, it's soft, yeah. Hard beat, and then.
Yeah. And it's amazing how it transitions from like the fucking indie rock shit into like the orchestral or rather like the string quartet and all the other stuff in the background. It's so cool. And I feel like there's a theme of I think what you could probably say is like intuition, because I feel like that's kind of been there in the last four songs. She's like, don't think about it too much. Enjoy life.
Yeah, do it.
Do the things you like. If you're in a relationship, give what you want. Don't do more than you should. Have a good time. Like,
yeah, basically.
Intuition. And there's like a passive, voice. Like it's not, I don't know. There's something about being an observer in this fucking album. It's like taking a back seat and just enjoying the grandiose nature of nature or the universe.
Yeah, this album is making me hot and sweaty. I've had to take off my jacket because I am like, I'm getting all fired up, man. This is so, again, well done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna be honest. I already have a fucking score in my head, and I hope it stays.
I have to say that I also am starting to piece together a score, but let's see if it lets up or it continues to
be banger.
To pound us in the ass.
Yeah. All right, let's go with track number five, the title track, Animaru. Here we go. All right, that was track number five, Animaru. How'd you feel about that one?
All right, I think, okay, so I might be stupid or something, but Animaru might be Japanese for animal.
Yeah, I kind of got that too. I think I picked up on that.
Okay, maybe that makes the album a little bit clearer beyond just saying this is like a slice of life, because maybe she's obviously spelling herself as not exactly like a simpleton, but reducing herself down to saying, "Hey, I'm just an animal. I poop and shit and eat and
and that's about it."
Yeah, and then to say to someone like, "Oh, you're not going to be a doctor, or you're not going to be this or that." Well, fuck, I'm a fucking animal. Like, how can you expect me to do all these things? Like, I just want to live like any other fucking animal, right?
Yeah.
To have high expectations for this. This felt like a defiant song.
Yeah, I feel like,
and I also I feel like I undersold Meso Mene's lyrics. Like, I, not to say that they weren't deep, but this was the first one I think that kind of gave the idea that there's more depth than initially
this,
thought.
This had that lyrical depth to it that has not really been there so far. I feel like this song was also kind of like a political statement almost. Talking about like, I'm not, this is like a rebellion type deal. Like, I'm not a resource. I'm not, what was the other thing she said? I'm not a resource. I'm not a ribbon. Like, you know how you have all those fucking like support ribbons for everything.
Oh yeah. Good point.
You know, I'm not a cardboard box, you know, and then saying like, hey,
I'm not a commodity.
I'm not a commodity, but also I don't care enough to like do anything to make myself a criminal.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care enough to protest. I don't care enough to do anything. You should have just went to somebody else. So I kind of feel like that was the gist of this song. And this song was good. It wasn't as good as the previous four, but I feel like this, we're reaching the midpoint. This was, I feel like, hopefully the kind of, okay, come down. Let me throw in my political statement song here. Let everybody catch their breath. And then we're going to come back with track six and fucking fuck them right in the asshole again.
Yeah, it wasn't my personal favorite track. I would say is good. I think it was more on the somber or solemn tone.
Yeah.
And somewhat defiant, on a defiant note. And not to say it wasn't bad or anything. I think it was kind of like in the middle for me. But again, the technique of all the instrumentalists on this. Dude, I want to know how big the fucking crew is for this album. Because it sounds big, but it might be like 10 motherfuckers.
Shit, could be 4 motherfuckers. Who knows?
Yeah. But in either whatever the case may be, it sounds spectacular.
It does. All right, let's get to the next track. Track number 6, Donguri, off of Mei Semone's latest album, debut album, Animaru. Here we go. All right, that was track number 6, Donguri. And I think Mei Semone might have had an encounter with Joey Diaz, and he gave her some of those fucking stars of death, and they're like 100 milligrams of fucking THC in them each, and she ate like 10 of them, and turned into, and I think she may have actually turned into a woodland creature, and this song was about her journey and her time as a woodland creature from doing too many edibles. And it was a very relaxing song, I have to say.
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I feel like the ongoing theme of reject humanity, become monkey.
Yeah,
is becoming more prevalent, and maybe not so much monkey, just becoming
becoming woodland creature.
Yeah, becoming the animal. You know, reducing yourself down to your animalistic like tendencies and shit. It's getting a bit fantastical with like talking about a woodland like king or a forest king or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Why do you think he rejected her? Because she's only half, like, she's
not all the way animal yet. She's still like half fucking, she's still part human. And they're like, no, still human, no monkey, get out. Fuck out of here.
Yeah. This song was cool because it opened with the cello. And then there was also like a stand up bass cello, whatever. There was a cello solo, which was kind of fucking cool.
That was cool.
It was like a very breezy, lighthearted song. And it just makes me think of like fucking rabbits with like a little vest on and they're kind of skipping and shit.
I thought this was like a Winnie the Pooh-esque type fucking story.
Oh, definitely.
And he's just in the back going, oh, bother.
Yeah.
Oh, someone took too many edibles. Oh, bother. Oh, Piglet, I'm so high. Oh, bother.
That fucking what is it, like Chilean or Peruvian bee honey where you get high. This is a cool, I really enjoyed that track because it was just it just felt like it's not a throwaway song or whatever, but it's just acoustic guitar and bass, very simple, very lighthearted, digestible, great song. I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it was a good time. All right, let's get on to the next track, which is track number 7. I don't know what this is about. Norwegian shag. I don't know. Could be talking about carpet. Could be talking about fucking. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. So here we go. Track number 7, Norwegian shag. All right. That was Norwegian shag. Track number 7. What do you think about that one?
Banger.
Banger.
I got to say, man, as simple or as seemingly simple as lyrics are, I think it paints a relatively vivid picture.
Yeah.
And I like this track because of the story it told within it. I'm guessing, I don't know if this was like a romantic partner that they had, that they used to meet up in the park and would note the trees and the statue and the dirt, like the dirt road or something. But talking about like the passage of time with like the statue developing plaque or whatever, or rust, and then talking about how they missed that person. I feel like there's a parallel between that and the statue. I don't know if that was romantic or not, but it's very cool. It's a very cool track to reminisce about a specific like place, but also visualize it in a past and present tense. If that makes sense,
No, that makes sense. When she said that line about playing the tune by Jocko or whatever, I don't know why I immediately got this image of Jocko Willink at a park, and he's just sitting there, just standing with his arms crossed, and he's just like looking around and seeing all the furry woodland creatures enjoying themselves, and he's just like, good.
Yeah, good.
I don't know why, man. That's who the statue is. The statue is Jocko.
Yeah.
And he's fucking standing there going like, they're taking extreme ownership for their actions. Good. But yeah, no, that song was another fucking banger, man.
Fuck, what else do I have to say? Damn it, I had something I was going to say, but I might have to save it for the next track if I remember it. But I was going to say, it's kind of amazing that for this album, as deep as we've gotten, was it 7 songs?
Yeah.
Yes, they're playing the same instruments, but we're getting like different moods throughout each song.
Yeah.
And there's a change. There's changes in tempos. Oh, nothing really sounds the same.
Is the one of the biggest compliments I think you can give to someone is that these tracks don't sound alike at all. Mm. They all sound totally different from each other. I have not gotten bored. I haven't been like, oh, like some other shit we've listened to, and I'm like, oh, it's the same fucking song over and over again with just slightly different words. Goddamn. That is not what this is. So.
I will say one thing I also enjoyed about one of the previous tracks. I don't remember where it was. I think it was in Annie Maru, or maybe it was the one before that. Oh, it was I Can Do What I Want. I think that's like very much in the spirit of jazz, to do what you want, like playing what sounds good as opposed to like having things arranged like freeform jazz, right?
Yeah.
You're playing things because it's like, oh no, fuck it. I just want to do it. It sounds cool. Like,
yeah,
it's not because, oh, it needs to sound like A, B, A, A, B, C, A, B, A, or whatever.
It's, you know, not formulaic.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why it sounds good, is because it's intuitive.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I that's what I love about this. The entirety of this album is that it just feels good. It sounds good. And it is good.
Feels good, man.
Feels good, man. The album.
Yeah, serious. All right. Well, let's get into track number 8. Rat with Wings. Here we go.
Billy Corgan.
All right. That was track number 8. Rat with Wings. God damn. Another great fucking song, man.
Yeah. I think this was the one I liked lyrically the most.
Yeah. There's a lot to this song. There was a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, I'm guessing the rat described is a significant other that they had a falling out, so to speak.
Yeah.
Still loves them, still thinks of them, and would never try to get back in a relationship, but still appreciates them nonetheless. But describing them as a rat with fucking wings, dude. Well, I guess we kind of got the idea of like why the fucking rat is on the
cover
now. So
the literal rat with wings.
Yeah, it feels like we've gotten to the point where all these songs are starting to converge. Maybe not in a literal sense, but like all the introduced ideas in every single song, like reducing yourself to an animal or your animalistic like tendencies, and then describing people as an animal, like for this your significant other to be described as a rat with wings is rather funny. And also like intuition and I forget what other shit she's kind of talked about, but I think it's hitting on all notes for me, like lyrically and instrumentally. She's, for what we seemingly thought was didn't have like lyrical depth, it's starting to come out now, like within these last couple songs.
Yeah, towards the end here, it's starting to hit. And man, that God damn it, how is this so good? And you literally, you're like, oh, I don't think you're gonna like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, awesome for something for me to poop on.
Yeah.
But no, now this is fucking great.
It's a
certified banger.
One other thing or two things to know at the beginning of the song. I don't know how the fuck this probably just is the testament to the team behind her. Whoever's playing the strings, they were like scratching the strings and making like the ever slightest bit of sound. I'm like, how the fuck do you even do that? Like, I feel like we've gotten different ways to play the violins and possibly like the violas. Like every way, which way you can play it, they've done it. And it's like, fuck yeah, that's fucking rad.
Yeah, I think this is the best evidence that sorcery exists, because that's clearly what's happening here.
Yeah, and also the last 4 minutes, for whatever reason, Mace O&A just like, oh, I'm gonna have a fucking acoustic guitar solo.
Yeah.
And then let's crescendo into with like the other instruments crashing in, and let's just make it as explosive finish as you can imagine. And banger.
Banger. All right, here we go. Let's get into track number 9. This is Zaragani. Here we go. Track 9. All right, that was track number 9, Zaragani. Fuck, another banger, man. Just with those ups and downs and the whimsical fucking nature of this is unparalleled. This, god damn, this is good, man.
You know what's cool? It's what she could do. So this song was 4.5 minutes. I feel like we went on a whole fucking ride within four and a half minutes, man. That's fucking amazing. And also, there was this part where she starts talking about the tip of Manhattan and the percussion. There was like, it wasn't chimes. It was probably like a hi-hat or something. It was the drums and the hi-hats and maybe something else. Chimes? I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, it simulated like the speed in which New York moves.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I'm like, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. When they were talking about that, it was like the hustle and bustle personified in music.
Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, that's cool.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
I've never fucking heard anything quite like this, man.
Yeah.
And that's fucking commendable.
Yeah.
You got anything else about that track?
No, I think we've already kind of said.
Yeah,
I feel like we're repeating ourselves.
We are. I mean, because it's just so good. Like,
yeah.
All right, let's just do the last fucking track. Sasa Yaku Sakabu, track number 10 off of Mei Semone's debut album, Anamaru. Here we go. All right, that was the final track, track number 10, Sasa Yaku Sakabu, which is, what did I say that meant? Whisper Shout. Man, what a hell of a way to end an album.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking great. That song was so, that last song just took us on another fucking journey. Another fucking five, almost 6 minute long journey. And goddamn, was it an epic one.
Unfortunately, we didn't have the lyrics, so we don't know what the actual meaning of the song was.
We don't even know anything about the Japanese. There was a lot of Japanese in there. But honestly, at this point, it doesn't fucking matter. It's not going to change the score one way or the other, to be honest. All right, so do you have anything else to add about this specific track?
This one felt... I hope I'm, like, categorizing right, but the tempo of the song felt like a waltz.
Yeah.
Felt like I had that tempo. Just another fucking great track to add on to the pantheon of songs that were already fucking great to begin with. This is probably like the only thing I really have to add about that song, but I want to transition over to the thoughts, final thoughts and score.
Yeah.
Scores. So we can do that now.
All right. 3450. You can put that.
What do you got? What do you got? So what do you got to say about the album?
All right. all things considered, if you take into account all 10 tracks, everything about you include the lyrical depth, you include the mixing, you include the fucking instrumentals, you include the varied use of said instrumentals, the way that her voice is just awesome, the crafting, the expert master crafting of this song. If you take all those things into consideration, there's no way you can give this thing anything less than a fucking 10 out of 10, man. This is a fucking great album. Like, I'm adding this to my fucking playlist of shit. Like, this was as perfect as you can fucking get, almost. I mean, goddamn near. This was fucking awesome for me. I enjoyed this. Having never heard anything like this before, it's fucking 10 out of 10, dude. There's no way. There's no doubt in my mind.
I have it at 9.5 or 10.
Yeah.
There was one song that I was like, eh, on. It's either Before or After. What was it called? I Could Do What I Want or something.
I think it was track 5 was the one that was kind of.
It was like, eh.
Eh. But other.
Like I said, it's only like a half step down. But if I throw that away and not really. Like I said, I still like the song. So yeah. It's like, it's a 9.5 or 10.
Yeah. I think that. I don't even think I can hold that against this.
No, I don't think so either. You know what? I'm going to give it a 10 because it is that fucking good.
It is. You take into account all of everything. This is a solid 10 out of 10. This is as close to as perfect as you can fucking get.
Yeah.
And this is definitely going. This is going to be fucking huge, I think. I think there's a huge audience for this kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think she's going to just fucking go to the fucking. This album's going to be on the fucking Billboard fucking list or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not like a jazz expert, but man, this is like a modern day or even a contemporary fucking like legendary album already, man.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I'm like this. I listen to jazz superficially, not to the depth of like jazz heads or anything like that. I kind of just like, you know, I like surveying things and shit. But I think this is going to be remembered for a long time.
Oh, yeah, me too. And that's why I think this is a standout album.
Yeah.
And shit, man, to debut. I mean, yes, granted, it's
5 years
in, but this is your debut album, essentially. This was 5 years in the making.
It is.
And you can fucking tell that this was just manicured and just to the T, just fucking done so well.
Methodically, meticulously, dude. And props to like everybody involved, like the mixer, the fucking master, the entire crew that was behind her, the violinist,
the instrumentalists,
the drummers,
the cellist, the fucking everybody.
Yeah,
the cowbell guy. I mean, the little jingle jangle things?
The chimes.
The chimes. Yeah, there you go. The chimes guy. Or lady, you know, goddamn.
And I want to go on a tangent.
All right.
And say that I think this is worthy of, like, I'm not even joking. There's an entire script for a movie here, a Studio Ghibli movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think my own personal story that I've come up with listening to going on one of those Josh rants. I feel like there's a story here about having a friend that you had as a child. You lost touch with, and they're like part animal, right? And they actually convert to being full animal, but then you get in touch with them as an adult, and they return to their human form because they still need to, like, I don't know what they need to do as a human, but they're telling you, the main character or whatever, like, hey, life's a lot better as an animal. Like, there's no wars. There's like everything's cool. Like, you got to get in touch back with your animal side. So everybody has like this animal side within them. And you're this other character is trying to get you back into that and to find what your animal is. And I don't know. I don't know where to go with the rest of the plot.
No, my thing was this is like your childhood friend, and they die.
They
reincarnate as like an animal, some kind of squirrel or whatever. And they're coming and visiting you, and they slip you some fucking like kind of like LSD or some weird shit.
Yeah.
And then it makes you turn into an animal for a certain period of time, and you like reconnect them, and you're like, oh shit, this is cool, like being animals. And they're like,
it's better than being human.
Yeah, man, this is way better. And they're like, yeah, dude, like this is what's waiting for you, like when you die. So like, I'll be here like waiting for you. And then like there's some crisis that happens, and then you help them fix it, and then that's it, and then you turn back to being a human, and then, but you, like, the movie ends with this final song, and it's, like, them looking out, they're standing at on their porch or whatever, it's, like, it's windy, the wind's blowing, it's fall, the leaves are going everywhere, and they just, you're, the little, it's like a squirrel that was your friend, and they run to the thing, they, and then, at the last second, they turn back and look at you, and then you look at them, and you just give the nod, and they give their little squirrel nod, and then off they go into the forest till next spring, and then fucking end of the movie.
Right, and humanity was the enemy all along.
Yeah, yeah, humanity was the third man.
This is a really fucking cool album. Like I said, I didn't know what to expect, not only for myself to listen to it, but also I didn't even know what the fuck Josh was going to think.
Well, I bet I surprised you on this one.
Yeah.
So anyways, go check out Animaru by Mei Semone. Download it, fucking send her money, PayPal, Zelle, whatever the fuck she's taking over there.
Give her chestnut rice.
Yeah, give her chestnut rice. Bring her some acorns, maybe.
Yeah.
Definitely feed her more LSD, that is for sure, or edibles, or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Man.
And also cut us a check if you...
While you're at it, if you heard about her through us, send us 50% of what you're going to send her, all right? Like, this is totally fair.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, well, actually, I guess that ends the episode. 10 out of 10, certified fucking banger. I guess we'll catch you guys on the next one.